This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your girl, Jessie Mapeluso, and it's been a week. Has it been a week for you? Whew, it's been a week for me. It's been such a week I had to go out to the desert and do some drugs and stare at the stars for answers. And the answers came, and I talk about it in this episode. Hey, if you guys want to watch this episode, check it out on my YouTube page. Are you subscribed yet? You should be subscribed. Why aren't you subscribed? Go to youtube.com/JessieMapeluso, click subscribe. And I'll thank you so much. And please leave us a review for the podcast. Rate and review this podcast. You can do that right on the Apple app. And I think you can do it on Spotify as well. Just let us know how you're enjoying it, what your favorite episodes are, and anything that you'd like to share. And if you guys have any suggestions or things you want to talk about pertaining to the episode you listened to or anything in the past or future, email me, jessiemapelusocomedy@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your suggestions and anything positive you have to say. If you're a hater, keep on hating, but don't do it my way. I don't care what you have to say. My name's Jessie May. Maybays. Thank you to all my Maybays, my OGs, the ones who listen every week, week after week. I appreciate you. I couldn't do this podcast, literally could not do this podcast without you. So thank you guys so much. And if you want to be a part of the fan club, you do that at patreon.com/JessieMapeluso. And this week is a OG episode, just me talking about everything that's happened, things that bother me, what I learned in the desert. I'll have some links up in the show notes, so make sure you listen to those prompts where you can check those out. And as always, thank you guys so much for your continued support. I appreciate it. And I hope you enjoyed this week's episode with the one, the only, me.
Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie May Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's gonna get dirty. You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. Talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's gonna be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're gonna get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. You've already heard that. Well, why not hear it again? I have a lot to complain about. I have notes from my doctor with spilled coffee on them. I also have an announcement for the end of the podcast about my tour, which is exciting. So stick around for that. And I'm going to be bitching about all the things that bothered me this week. How is everybody? I can't hear your response, but I hope you're well. I had to go out to the desert to cleanse my soul. Having to do a lot of cleansing lately. A lot of cleansing. You know, I miss when cleansing was just something you did to your face. I miss when cleaning was just something that happened with the dishes. You become an adult and you have to clean out your entire life. Not just your closet, but your friend group, your mode of conduct, your mind, your way of living in the world. There's so much cleansing that goes on, and sometimes the act of like physically cleaning something is so exhausting because you've done it over and over, whether it's purging your closet, purging your friends, purging your mind, it gets a little exhausting. So I had to go out to the desert and do a little psilocybin and purge that way. That's how I cleansed myself. And let me tell you, it wasn't enough. It was almost enough, but I feel like I could do another week or two out there. Maybe not Joshua Tree again, perhaps another location. And I have thoughts on that, but I'll leave that alone for now. because we don't want to go too deep into the desert. You get lost. There's just so many ways to freaking clean yourself. And I have to tell you that there's been a lot of challenges this year. I'm sure you guys have felt it. I am sure you have had challenges in your own life. And for me, I have had to grow up. This is a season of growing up. Adulthood is upon me. And boy, if I'm not kicking and screaming, grabbing onto my childhood, trying to hang on to that dirty, dirty existence. That was a fun part about being a kid. You just were dirty all the time. Your jokes were dirty. Your nails were dirty. Your clothes were dirty. Everything was dirty and it was fine. And now as an adult, we have to frickin' cleanse ourselves. And I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. I don't want to cleanse anymore. I want to roll around in the dirt. I want to do what I used to do as a kid. I want to have fun. And fun, real fun, I think is dirty. So therein lies the paradox. The paradox and the estuary, I guess we can call it, of childhood and adulthood. It's kind of like that place in a body of water where fresh water meets salt water. That's exactly the cross section between childhood and adulthood. And it gets a little murky there, you know? It's like oil and water. It doesn't really cross over, at least not in the way we view life, especially in this culture. This overachieving, overly productive modern culture that we live in. It's a difficult place right there where childhood and adulthood meets, because I want the childhood to creep into the adulthood, and I think it should. I think a little bit of that dirty, youthful living serves a purpose in our adulthood. It keeps us grounded. It keeps us rooted in our authentic selves. Because I do think ourselves, our authentic selves, still hold some sort of childish aspect to it. I do think that the way to really find that sweet space in life is to allow your child, your inner child, some stage time, if you will. So that's why I went and did shrooms. That's why I went and did some psilocybin underneath the sky. Because that's what it takes as an adult sometimes to reach your childlike wonderment and your childlike awe. You need a break. And somehow psilocybin allows that for me. And it peels away all of these preconceived notions we have about ourselves, and it peels away my idea of who I think I am, and I get to who I really am and how I really exist. And like I mentioned before, the reality of this just hyper productive life and this hyper productive society, it's overwhelming. And I don't know if it's sustainable. I think we're realizing it's not. I think this overproductive existence is what's causing us the need to cleanse and the need to purge. We're completely exhausted. I know I am. I'm fucking exhausted. And being a kid, when you were a kid, the only time you were exhausted was at the end of the day. Do you remember that? You had all this energy. You had a zest for life. And at that estuary, the cross section of childhood and adulthood is when exhaustion started in the beginning of the day. When you're an adult, you're tired when you wake up. You wake up and you're like, fuck, what? Another day. Not another day. And when you're a kid, you're like, another day? This is great. Another day to play in the mud, another day to play with my dinosaurs, another day to daydream. The dirty daydreaming of childhood. Oh, I fucking miss it. I miss it so much. And I'm trying to get it back. I'm trying to get it back so hardcore. But this overly productive society keeps pounding me back down. This you got to get it done. Are you being productive? What'd you do today? How many meetings did you take? How many articles did you read? How many chapters did you write for your book? Did you record 45 podcasts? We're doing too much. We're doing too much, and that's making us exhausted. It's making us stressed. And we're forgetting that there still is an inner child. We're neglecting, as adults, we're neglecting our inner child by attempting to be productive. And I'm no different. Damn, I'm no different. I look at my week, my calendar, and I'm like, what am I trying to prove? What am I trying to prove? That I can be hospitalized for exhaustion? Because it's happened to a couple of my very close friends. Is that what I'm trying to do? And honestly, the constant cleansing of adulthood is what's exhausting me, and the constant purging and the constant need to unload, because there's so much to do. Then you're like, well, I gotta start getting rid of stuff. I need to start making space for all this new shit. And the real value in unloading things is to keep space, to create space, and to keep it space. Just leave the space. You don't need to fill the space with anything. Somehow we've turned our beings into storage units. And instead of just not filling stuff inside of us, we continue to pack it in. We're packing cardboard boxes filled with shit and piling them on top of each other, and we're sticking them in the corner. And then we realize we got there's a little nook on top. We can fit some more shit. So we shove some papers up there, and then we start on the next column, and we shove stuff inside and layer it up. And we fill all of our space with stuff, and we wonder why we're fucking exhausted. That's why. And that's why we are constantly cleaning. And maybe I'm projecting, and I am projecting. I'm speaking about myself when I'm saying we and us and all of that. I'm speaking about me and what I've been going through. Because if you've been following along, I'm sure you've realized that, you know, I've been in a mood. Woo, I've been in a mood. And I think it is an amalgamation of happenings. It's a mixture of things. Maybe amalgamation isn't the correct word. It's a blend of all these different things going on. And it's a blend of me becoming an adult forcefully because both of my adults passed away. That's one way you become an adult real quick, is when your parents die. And another way is when you deny your inner child. When you deny that inner child still needs some attention. Not all the attention, because fuck, you have to be an adult. You have to do adult things, and adulting is not fun. But that's why it's important to hang on and have little conversations with that little kid inside. What would you do today? I think that's one way we can combat this constant cleansing that we need of our souls, our spirit, and our lives, is to just have a conversation with that inner kid. What would that inner kid do today? What would little Jesse May do today? And I got to tell you, I keep thinking about it. This is how boring she would be. Boring, but fun in the sense of what a child's mind is capable of. If I was little Jessie Mae, I would go outside. Hopefully it was a cloudy day with fluffy cumulus clouds in the sky. I'd lay down on the grass and I'd stare up at the sky and I'd think of things and I'd look in the clouds and I'd see shapes and I'd create stories. Kind of what I do as an adult on shrooms, if I'm being completely honest. And that's why I will forever be an advocate for psilocybin. It taps into that. At least for me. It's not like that for everybody. And you guys know, on these various episodes of my podcast, I'm not a real doctor. I'm just a doctor from my own experience. Board uncertified. And this is not a Dr. Peluso episode, to be clear. But I am saying I'm not prescribing you psilocybin. I have prescribed it for myself. And it works great. But that's what I did this weekend. I went out to sort of reconnect with my inner child. And then I came back and had to deal with my torn rotator cuff. That's something that doesn't happen as a kid. You know, we'll get into it in a second, because I have a bone to pick, literally, with my orthopedic doctor that I met with. But before that, I was reading a little bit this weekend because it was the anniversary of Amelia Earhart. And I believe it was, I don't know, was it the anniversary of her missing let's see. Let me get this right. I believe it was the anniversary of her essentially going missing, which I don't know if we're going to call that an anniversary. No, it was the 90th anniversary of her first solo trip across the Atlantic. And it got me to read about her a little bit. It's like, well, let me read a little bit about Amelia Earhart. Even though this is like something we learn in school, it's probably a subject that's been beaten down like a flying dead horse because it is a popular topic, a female pilot. But she said something in this letter to her husband. This is a somewhat famous letter that she wrote to her husband when she got married. And I don't know if this is verbatim. I think it is. I think somebody might have gotten a hold of the letter. In the letter to her husband, she wrote, "I may have to keep some place where I can go to be myself now and then, for I cannot guarantee to endure at all the confinements of even an attractive cage." Damn! That last bit, "for I cannot guarantee to endure at all the confinements of an even attractive cage." Of even an attractive cage. Third time's a charm. I wonder if that's why she went down. She read as poorly as I do. "For I cannot guarantee to endure at all the confinements of even an attractive cage." I mean, dang. If that's not anti-Kardashian, I don't know what is. She's like, "I don't care how nice your house is, I'm going to need to get out." Amelia Earhart was like an OG feminist. She actually was known to go to colleges and do public speaking and speaking events and talk to women and encourage them to get their own education and encourage them to hold off on getting married. And she encouraged them to further their own studies and interests, which is so groundbreaking, especially at that time. This is something that I think a lot of modern women struggle with, because we want to be feminine, a lot of us, but we also want to achieve. And there's also an issue there. There's also a crossroads of sorts in that little decision of how do I stay feminine while also achieving? Because traditionally, achievements and being the best at things and being the top and being the zenith of whatever field you're in has been traditionally a male ideology. And we can break all that now. We don't need to have those conversations and keep that going. But hearing about this and reading about this, it just was like so anti-Kardashian. She was the not do nothing bitch. She was the antithesis of the do nothing bitch. She's like, "Don't tread on my lipstick. Give me the cage, the blanket, and the Netflix," is how I feel. "Make that cage as attractive as you want, because I will curl up in a ball in a blanket eating mac and cheese and do nothing happily." Happily. This is why we are exhausted, because of women like Amelia Earhart telling us to, "No, don't be a wife. Don't stay home. Go and get a job." I'm exhausted. I should have stayed home. We shouldn't have listened to her. Because now we're trying to cleanse our soul. Now we're trying to clean out the house within our soul, because we are about to crumble because we're doing too much. Because of Amelia Earhart, we are all exhausted. Okay? She had to be the second person to cross the Atlantic. First female, second to Charles Lindbergh. She had to be it, huh? And now here I am with 42 podcasts, writing a book, a show, and a movie, and it's and I'm wondering why I feel like I'm going to collapse because of Amelia Earhart. I blame her. I will put the article in the show notes because it's a fascinating article about her and her, what the article called her peripatetic life, which made me had to Google. I guess as a child, she was nomadic. Her and her family were nomadic, which sounds problematic and probably added to her desire to have some semblance of control over her life and being allegiant to freedom as a woman and having her own choice and her own doing things on her own volition. And I respect that, but fuck if I'm not tired from it. And it's exhausting to think about. So no thank you, Amelia Earhart. No thank you. And speaking of women who exhaust me, Tina Turner is out on tour. She's gotta be 80. What? People need to slow down. What are we trying to prove? Keep going. Let me tell you, I guarantee you, all the blue zones across the world, the places where people live the longest, they're not doing all this shit. Somehow, I don't think doing the most makes you live the longest. I think just chilling, eating a bowl of pasta, and having wine every day is just enough. You hear about these marathon runners and these people who eat kale 3 meals a day. They drop dead sometimes. All I'm saying is maybe doing the most isn't the thing that's going to make you live the longest. Let's see. How old is Tina Turner? She's out on tour. Why? Why not just relax? She's 83! I didn't mean to yell. I'm sorry. She's 83! And I'm sure a lot of you are like, go, girl. Go ahead, girl. Do your thing. You guys are acting like you're going to be out there doing it too. Let me tell you, she's the exception. Most of us aren't even going to make it to 83. A lot of us won't make it to 73. Nancy sure as hell didn't. And she was a little thing. Just, grandmas shouldn't be in miniskirts. This is going to be a controversial episode. I think we're doing too much. Tina Turner's out on tour. It's baffling to me. I saw the poster. I saw that she was out on tour, and it made me exhausted and then feel like shit about myself because I'm like, I can't go. I'm exhausted. I can't go to Edmonton. I can't even barely get on a plane to go to Edmonton, Canada for one weekend. Here's Tina Turner out on a full fucking tour. Let's see. Tina Turner tour dates. Let's see where she's going to be. I just can't believe it. Tina Turner tour dates. Here we go. She's got a whole bunch. I might need to see her. I bet you it's a great concert. I went to this foundation fundraiser event for, I think it was a children's hospital. I went with my friend Crystal, and Chaka Khan was the entertainment for the night. She's also like 80, probably 79 or something. Killing it. And as I get it, you women are like, go girl, do it. We can all do it. Do we all want to do it? Do you really want to be slapping on lashes and fishnets and tucking in your old grandma gunt into some Spanx and getting out there and just blasting through some laps of whatever life you chose as your career? No. I want to be in a muumuu doing crosswords, documenting the birds that are landing on my fence, and then going to bed at 3 p.m. I'm looking forward to that. It just seems very exhausting. So Tina Turner's on a full freaking tour. She, let's see, this link is horrible. It looks like she's going to be in California. It looks like a California tour. She's going to be in Costa Mesa, San Diego, San Francisco. Oh no, she's got more tour dates. This can't be real. The Tina Turner musical? Is this a tour? I think this is not the tour. There's a musical happening. Will Tina Turner go on another tour? It's very difficult to say that fast. Okay, I stand corrected. It is a musical about Tina Turner. Now I feel bad because here I am like, she shouldn't be on the road. She's not. The 50th anniversary tour began in 2008 and went to 2009. She had 84 sold-out dates across North America, and that was her final tour. She announced retirement once the tour wrapped. So I stand corrected. She was 68, which is still too old. It's still too old. Actually, I'm not even an ageist. I'm an anti-ageist. I don't like when people say what people can do up to a certain age, so I'm being a total hypocrite right now. But I'm glad to now realize it's just a musical. Somebody will be playing Tina Turner. And I think we all should go see that. I stand corrected. I should have done better research. I saw a picture and it didn't say the musical. It said Tina Turner on tour. Say that 3 times fast. I think we found the clip, Deb. Jesus. Holy hell. Well, I feel better now. I feel better that Tina's at home relaxing. And speaking of relaxing, Mother's Day was a few weeks ago. It was not relaxing for me. I had a little bit of a emotional response to it. And the only way I could deal with Mother's Day was to go to Marshall's twice. That's right. I took a blast through Marshall's two times, same Marshall's. Went out to Marshall's, did a little bit of shopping. I was on a small edible, came back. I got sad. And instead of staying in and crying, I took another blast through Marshall's. As Nancy would have wanted. Are you kidding me? That's the only way Nancy would have wanted me to celebrate Mother's Day. She would have been like, stop crying, put on your big girl panties and take another blast through Marshall's. Go grab some things you don't need. You need some candles. You need a new outfit for your dog. Do you need a new throw pillow? Absolutely. Do you need a throw blanket? You better believe it. I need 45 pillows. I need discount dog treats and I need a new set of dishes. The way it should be on Mother's Day. Marshall's, baby. I'm a Maxinista. I'm here for the Marshall's find. And I Ross dress for less all damn day. It's the only way to handle Mother's Day is the American trilogy. And I did it. Well, I just did Marshall's twice. I probably should have done it three times, but I didn't. Something that bothered me this week. Well, a lot of things that bothered me. We're going to get into my rotator cuff in a second here. My rotator cuff situation. But something that bothered me, I was at the gym working out through my aching rotator cuff. And I'm looking around at girls' outfits. And when did we stop wearing sweatpants at the gym? When did it turn into a fashion show? And not only that, when did we start wearing bright colors at the gym? What happened to gray and black? This girl had like Amazon rainforest scenery on her pants. Her pants literally looked like the edge of the ocean with a full sunset, birds, children playing in the sand. There were so many colors and prints. And why are we doing this? And maybe this is just LA, but it's too much pressure. I just want to go to the gym and work on my fupa. I don't want to be feeling like I need to compete with a girl who looks like a male peacock. She's got the matching bra, she got the matching pants and the socks and the headphones, and everyone's a professional now. It's too much pressure. What I'm saying is I just want to turn into an 80-year-old woman and have everyone leave me alone. I just want to wear gray sweatpants at the gym, and I just want to work out in clothing that looks like it's my third lineup. You know, in sports, there's like the first people who go, right? The starting lineup. And then there's like the guys who never get on the field. That's my gym outfit. The people who they don't even mention at the game. And they don't even put on the full sports outfit because they don't need to because they're not going to make it out to the field. That's the gym clothes that I wear. Third runners? I don't know what you call that. Somebody who knows sports, tell me. Is it the runner up? I don't know. And also in LA, it might just be an LA thing. Outfit, the word outfit is really stretched here. It's not so much an outfit as it is a sports bra. Girls just wear sports bra. That's their top. You go into the grocery store, you're like, is this a gym? Did an elliptical class just get let out in the produce department? Why is everybody in a sports bra with the best body? I need to move to Wichita. Is what I'm telling you. I'm sick of the sports bra in LA being an outfit. Put on a shirt. What happened to no shirt, no shoes, no service? They don't give a fuck out here. Not only do you not need to have shoes on, you can steal up to $1,000 worth of stuff and leave the store without anyone batting an eyelash. I gotta move. I gotta move. I've had enough. Don't come to LA. Okay, so more things that bothered me. And then I'll tell you about the epiphany I had when I did the shrooms in the desert, because I did do a sound bath in the desert second time. I think I told you guys about the first time during my birthday weekend when I went out to the desert and did shrooms with my friends. I did it again, and I had an epiphany, and I'll tell you about it afterwards. But another thing that bothered me was at the doctor's office, not this doctor, not my rotator cuff. I went to another doctor. Her cell phone kept going off during the appointment. And I'm sorry if I am expecting too much for my doctor to be focused on me during the appointment, but maybe you can just turn your notifications off for like the 6 minutes that I get you. It's such a fast service. Visiting the doctor now has become the fast food of healthcare. You're in and you're out, and you don't feel any better, and you're confused, and you have a headache, and you felt rushed, and you don't feel like you're cured at all. You feel the opposite, and then you end up just going to Google anyways. And that's a reality. And my doctor even said this. She goes, you know, the reality is a lot of patients know more than doctors these days. That's one thing I don't want my doctor to say. I don't want you to be texting on your phone and to tell me that I know more than you do. I didn't go to school. I'm not a real doctor. I didn't go to medical school. I don't have a degree. You should know more than me. I don't want this to be the new norm, that doctors just expect their patients to know more than them. And let's be honest, we don't. There's too much confusing information and conflicting information, and people who are fake doctors posing as real doctors. Not me, because I tell you I'm not a real doctor. I am a fake doctor. But there are doctors with a doctor title that don't have a fucking degree. And that's not to say there aren't holistic people who, professionals who can't get a degree because it's not offered in their particular field, who aren't well versed in that particular topic. That's a different situation. I'm talking about real freaking doctors here and real fake doctors and the information being conflicting. You literally can Google kale is good for you and kale is bad for you and be confused. Do I eat kale? I don't know if I eat kale. I don't know if I should eat kale. One guy tells me kale's poisonous. Another person tells me if I don't eat kale, I'm going to die. So what do we do? What do we do? What are we left? What are our options? Because when I go into a doctor's office and she tells me that the patient knows more than the doctor, I paid $90 copay for this? To be told that I should know more than you? Answer your freaking phone. Because I give up. I give up. That's where I'm at. I give up. I had to go check on my rotator cuff. Okay, a lot of doctor's appointments. On Monday, I had 3 doctor's appointments. 2 of them canceled on me, and the one that didn't cancel was a complete fool. This buffoon. And I chose him because he was a fellow Paizan, so it's my fault. And I'm not going to say his last name because I don't want to put him on blast like that. But I've had this issue with my shoulder. I've had an issue with my shoulder for a while, and it feels like it's slightly torn. Feels like there's an issue. So I go to the doctor, okay? And this is where I do think that we might know more than they do. So he asked me what's going on. And in the reality is I can't, if you're watching the video, you can see I have issues with like rotating my hand up. My left shoulder's a little tight and there's resistance and my right shoulder's fine. Anybody who's ever had rotator cuff issues, please send me some information to help me out. So he has me grab this device and squeeze it to see the strength in each hand. And it's clear that my left hand is not as strong as my right hand, but I'm right hand dominant. So that would be the same regardless. Like that would be what it is regardless. Like that's the whole point of people who have a dominant hand versus a non-dominant hand or people who are ambidextrous. One hand's going to be weaker. So I was like, well, this seems a little like, what are we deducing from this test? And then he like checks and just rotates my arm a little bit around. And he's like, oh, you got bursitis. You got bursitis. You need medication. And I'm like, whoa, 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 buddy. What do you mean I need medication? He goes, get the papers. There's this woman standing in the doorway with a blue binder filled with papers. She goes, get the papers. He's got all these printouts. Like it's the 1980s, okay? He hands me printouts. Ignore the color on the side because I spilled my coffee on them this morning because I was furious. He's like, you got frozen shoulder bursitis. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know that from having me squeeze a device from the 1950s and from you rotating my arm once? Okay. He's like, you got bursitis and you need medication. And we're just going to put you on medication. And I said, well, whoa. What kind of medication are we talking first and foremost? And don't you think physical therapy would be a good option before we jump into medication? He's like, do you take aspirin every day? And I said, I mean, a little bit. I don't really take anything every day besides fun stuff, but I take aspirin as needed. He's like, well, you need a stronger aspirin. You got to take it every day. And we're going to get you on a prescription. And I said, what about physical therapy? He's like, oh, are you open to physical therapy? And I said, yeah. Yeah. It's kind of what I was hoping for was, you know, a referral to some physical therapist to see if we can't heal this without jacking up my liver, doc. So he gives me this printout and there's options here. Okay. There's options. There's bursitis and tendonitis. And then he had this like model of a shoulder and then this like detachment of a muscle he puts underneath the rotator above the rotator cuff, like this fake little muscle. And then it shows you the bone. He's like, your arm's doing this and it's rubbing in your muscle and your muscle's inflamed. And that's why you can't move your arm. And that's why you're in so much pain. And I said, well, I'm not in so much pain. You didn't even ask me about my pain. It's not so much about the pain. There is a little bit of pain, but not that much. The bigger issue is my limited mobility. And so he's like, well, yes, you got bursitis. And I just thought it was so frustrating and annoying. And it made me miss a lady who was getting text messages telling me that I was smarter than her. I missed that to come to this, to have this guy who I know I'm smarter than tell me that I need medication without even really giving me a full examination, rushing me in and out. So he says, I got bursitis. Now, the other options are rotator cuff tear. He's like, no, you don't have that. You don't have that. How can you know? I trust someone who has more humility like that doctor, as opposed to this guy who is so sure about what's going on with my shoulder. So there's rotator cuff tear. There's calcific tendonitis and calcific bursitis. Why don't I have that one? How do you know I don't have one? And then there's arthritis. He's like, well, it will turn into arthritis if you don't deal with this and get on medication, you will have arthritis. So then he goes, get me the other sheet. And this girl's like she's in the binder, just licking her finger, getting all these sheets of paper. I'm like, what year is it in here? If you haven't updated moving from sheets of paper to like some sort of digital imagery, I can't trust that you've updated your education as a doctor. I just can't. Maybe that's short-sighted for a patient to think like that, but I need some graphs. I need to see, like, there needs to be like one of those screens that's high tech, and I need a hologram of a shoulder, not a printout, not this, not showing me photos of people in diagrams that were made in the 50s. I don't feel confident, especially when you're pushing drugs on me. He's like, you got to get on drugs. It's the only way you're going to heal it. And I was like, well, doesn't the drug just reduce the inflammation? Doesn't solve the problem? He's like, yeah, but you got to get on drugs. And I said, well, would physical therapy help solve the problem? He's like, yeah, but you got to get on drugs. And I said, we're going to do physical therapy. And that's it, where being a little bit of a indignant patient is important. And being an informed patient is important. Both I'm learning to become. So I'm going to go to physical therapy and we'll do a little live. I'll do a little live video of my progression and let's see if I end up needing medication and I turn out to be an idiot on this podcast, which I don't think I will, but it's very, very, very freaking possible. What else annoyed me? I think that's about it that annoyed me. I'll tell you about my epiphany in the desert on shrooms. So I do a sound bath, which is a sound bath that I did from before in the desert, which I highly recommend. I will leave the link, the sound bath link in the show notes. I wrote the show notes on the back of these terrible pieces of paper. I will leave the sound bath on there as well as the Amelia Earhart link. So a sound bath is very meditative and I highly recommend it for anybody who likes to meditate. I can go deep in meditation. I can really disassociate in a positive way. It's taken me a long time and it's a practice. You never perfect it, blah, 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 blah. If you want more information on it, I have a meditation episode on this podcast. But anyways, sound bath is a great way to teach yourself how to meditate and also to get some relaxation and you know, sort of reconnect with a little bit of the quiet inside of you. I feel like we've talked about before, people being so afraid of the silence. The sound bath is a great middle ground between the silence and having some sort of auditory anchor for you to grab onto, so you have a sort of like a delivery system into meditation, if that makes sense, where you can have the sound that you sort of hang on to and this auditory experience, and it's still relaxing and still considered somewhat meditative. Anyways, so I'm in the sound bath underneath this somewhat of the stars. This time of year, the sun is up a little later, so that was the only bummer, because last time I did it in September, it was dark and beautiful. I had this thought, because of so much that's been going on in my life and having to cleanse people, places, and things, I had this thought that the only person you can count on is your future self. And I say your future self because what we do to ourselves now, today, will determine who that person becomes and who you become. We can say the only person you can count on is yourself, but I think the only person you can really count on is your future self. So it's important that what you do today is something that can create a healthy lifestyle for that future person. And I had that thought just being stoned under the stars, that I need to be comfortable in that and be comfortable knowing that I am the only person I can count on, and I need to treat her better. And I'm going to cleanse her, and I'm going to worry about her more. And it also references and speaks to taking care of that inner child and getting a little dirty. Playing and getting a little dirty with your inner child, I think, will help cleanse yourself as an adult and help clear some space as an adult and clear out that storage unit inside of us that we pack so full. And the other thing that I thought was that it's important to do things to pull focus from the pull. And when I say the pull, I mean the pull down. I feel a lot of us have felt pulled down and weighed down and have felt depressed. I know I have in various times of my life, and I've been very open and vocal about that. And for me, it's important to do things that pull focus from the pull for myself, like going and doing some sound baths and taking my dogs for a walk and getting out in nature and having fun again, because all of that is more light and all of that sort of keeps your head up and makes you more playful and open. And that's something I realized I need to do more of. I need to do more things that keep me away from the pull. So that's going to be my little bit of homework for you guys, is to do some things that lift you up and take care of that future self so that you can get away from this highly productive life and realize that sometimes doing nothing is the most productive thing you can do. It creates space, and space is so freaking important. Anyways, let's do a little overheard. I only overheard one thing this past week that really stuck with me. I was at a restaurant. I didn't realize it was a lesbian restaurant. It was a shellfish place. This is not a joke. It was a lesbian shellfish restaurant. And the bartender said, "I've fucked celebrities." And I don't even know if she was saying it to anyone. I think it was more of a proclamation. And I thought, bing, putting that in the podcast, such an LA thing to say. I don't know if it's such a lesbian thing to say. If there's any lesbians out there listening, can confirm or deny, I'd love to hear it. Thought it was hilarious that someone would brag. It's not even a humble brag. It is a braggy brag, braggadocious, braggalicious. And I feel bad for you, because it seems like a lot of celebrities suck. Seems like most of them suck. Seems like a lot of them are creeps. And sounds like a lot of them had a season pass to pedophile aisle. And no thank you. No thank you, Captain. I will pass on that vacation. Overheard. And lest we forget, dogs in stores. When I went to Marshall's, I saw not one, but a person with two dogs. And the one thing that bothers me is when people have their dogs on a leash and let their dogs just all in your space. I'm a dog mom. I have three dogs. Get your dog on your side. Get it out of my space. Now, I do love to talk to every person's dog. So this is a very conflicting statement because I get down on my hands and knees and I say hello to the dog. I don't even acknowledge the person. But when I'm out in the store, keep your dog over there. I'm busy. I'm either here getting gifts for somebody or I'm trying to distract myself from the fact that it's Mother's Day. So keep your dog over there. And why do you need to bring all your dogs to the store? Do you need to bring all your dogs to the store, even though they're very freaking cute? And I took a picture of him walking away because I was that livid about it. And then I took a picture of my dog that was at a coffee shop just to show you that I'm a little bit of a hypocrite. Okay. My dog can be out in places, not yours. There's so much more I want to tell you guys and talk about. We're going to have to save that for next week. My tour is happening. I'm on it. And I'm going to be in Chicago. I'm coming to Chicago July 19th, 20th, and 21. We were just in Edmonton. So yeah, no, is it 19th? No, July 20th, 21, and 22 at Zany's in Chicago. I'm also going to be in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, August 18th and 19th at Uncle Vinny's. I'm going to be at the House of Comedy in Plano, Texas for my birthday weekend, September 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. I'm also going to be in Vancouver. October 5th, 6th, and 7th at the House of Comedy. I'm also going to be in Phoenix, Arizona at the House of Comedy. That's the first weekend of November, 3rd, 4th. I'm also going to be in La Jolla. I almost said Loyola. Well, I didn't almost. I did say La Jolla. I'm going to be in La Jolla. At La Jolla Comedy Store, kind of near San Diego. That's going to be November 10th, 11th, and 12th. And I think that might wrap up my tour for the year. I was going to do a New Year's Eve show. If enough of you beg me, I'll come do a New Year's Eve show. But for now, I'm trying to do less. I'm trying to cleanse. I'm creating space to get back to my youthful spirit. And I hope you guys do the same. I love you so much. And don't forget, Maybays, everything that happens for a reason, a season, a lesson, or a blessing. And I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. If you want to message me and give me some suggestions or any responses to this week's episode, you can do that at jessiemapeluscocomedy@gmail.com. As always, slide into my DMs on Instagram. Keep it cute and keep going and stop doing so much.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.